Hello, and welcome to GoGo Radio, found exclusively on gogo.com. My name is Mike Simpson, and on today's show, we are going to discuss file input and output in Java. Be sure to check out my GoGo profile and send in any questions or comments using the box below. All right, let's get started. An I/O stream represents an input source or an output destination. A stream can represent many different kinds of sources and destinations, including disk files, devices, other programs, and memory arrays. Streams support many different kinds of data, including simple bytes, primitive data types, localized characters, and objects. Some streams simply pass on data, others manipulate and transform the data in useful ways. But no matter how they work internally, all streams present the same simple model to programs that use them. A stream is a sequence of data. A program uses an input stream to read data from a source one item at a time, and it uses an output stream to write data to a destination one item at a time. The stream's data source and data destination can be anything that holds, generates, or consumes data. Obviously, this includes disk files, but a source or destination can also be another program, a peripheral device, a network socket, or an array. Programs use byte streams to perform input and output of 8-bit bytes. All byte stream classes are descended from the input stream and output stream classes. The file I/O byte stream classes are file input stream, of course, that's descended from input stream, and file output stream, which is descended from output stream. Byte stream classes use unbuffered I/O, which means that each read or write request is handled directly by the underlying operating system. Unbuffered I/O can make a program much less efficient, since each such request often triggers disk access, network activity, or some other operation that is relatively expensive. To reduce this kind of overhead, the Java platform implements buffered I/O streams. Buffered input streams read data from a memory area known as a buffer. The native input API is called only when the buffer is empty. Similarly, buffered output streams write data to a buffer, and the native output API is called only when the buffer is full. A program can convert an unbuffered stream into a buffered stream using a wrapping idiom where the unbuffered stream object is passed to a constructor for a buffered stream class. For example, you could assign an input stream using the following idiom. Input stream equals new buffered reader, open paren, new file reader, open paren, hello world.txt, close paren, or output stream equals new buffered writer, open paren, new file writer, open paren, hello world output.txt, close paren. There are four buffered stream classes that are used to wrap unbuffered streams. Buffered input stream and buffered output stream create buffered byte streams, while buffered reader and buffered writer create buffered character streams. Now, there are also data streams that support binary input and output of primitive data types, Boolean, char, byte, short, int, long, float, and double, as well as string values. All of these data streams will implement either the data input interface or the data output interface. A data output stream can only be created as a wrapper for an existing byte stream object, so we pass a buffered output stream to its constructor. The buffered output stream, in turn, is created using a file output stream that was linked to a data file. For example, output equals new data output stream, open paren, new buffered output stream, open paren, new file output stream, open paren, data file, close paren, close paren, close paren. Application may then write data to the output object. Now, if you're going to retrieve that data, you have to construct a mirror image input object, and that's going to be a data input stream. And then you're going to have variables that hold the input data. Like data output stream, data input stream has to be constructed as a wrapper for a byte stream. So your input object will be a new data input stream constructed from a new buffered input stream, constructed from a new file input stream, whose argument is the data file. Note that your data stream will detect an end of file condition by catching the EOF exception instead of testing for some sort of an invalid return value like -1 or something like that. All implementations of data input methods will use the EOF exception instead of return values. You should also notice that each specialized write in data streams is exactly matched by a corresponding specialized read. It's going to be up to the programmer to make sure that the output types and input types are similarly matched in this way. The input stream consists of simple binary data with nothing to indicate the type of the individual values or where they begin in the stream. Now, programs are often run from the command line and interact with the user in the command line environment. So we can also have I/O that occurs at the command line. The Java platform supports command line I/O in two ways, through standard streams and through the console. Standard streams are a feature of many operating systems. By default, they read input from the keyboard and they write output to the display. They also support I/O on files and they support I/O between programs, but that feature is going to be controlled by the command line interpreter, not the actual program. The Java platform supports three standard streams, standard input, which you get to by system.in, standard output, which is accessed through system.out, and standard error, or the diagnostic channel, accessed through system.err. Those objects get defined automatically. They don't need to be open. Standard output and standard error are both for output. Having the error output separately allows the user to divert the regular output to a file and still be able to read error messages. That's why the standard.error is sometimes known as the diagnostic channel. You might expect these standard streams to be character streams, but for historical reasons, they're byte streams. System.out and system.error are defined as print stream objects. Although it's technically a byte stream, print stream will use an internal character stream object to emulate many of the features of character streams. System.in, however, is a byte stream. There are no character stream features, so if you want to read from standard input as a character stream, wrap it in an input stream reader. So create an object new input stream reader, open paren system.in, close paren. Now, there is a more advanced alternative to the standard streams, and that's the console. The console is a single predefined object of type console that has most of the features provided by the standard streams and has others besides. The console object is particularly useful for secure password entry. The console object also provides input and output streams that are true character streams through its reader and writer methods. A program that wants to use the console must attempt to retrieve the console object by invoking system.console. If the console object is available, then this method will return that object. And if system.console returns null, then console operations are not permitted. And that could either be because the operating system doesn't support console operations, or could be because the program is launched in a non-interactive environment. The console object will support secure password entry through its readPassword method. This method helps secure password entry in two ways. First, it suppresses echoing, so passwords are not visible on the user's screen. Second, readPassword returns a character array, not a string, so that password can be overwritten, removing it from memory as soon as it's no longer needed. Another feature of file I/O involves monitoring changes in the file system. Suppose you're editing a file using an integrated development environment or another editor. Have you ever found yourself doing that and having a dialog box pop up to inform you that one of the open files has changed on the file system and needs to be reloaded? Well, let's say that you want to implement that functionality, and that functionality would be called file change notification. A program would need to be able to detect what's happening to the relevant directory on the file system, in other words, be able to detect that a file has changed. One way to do so is to simply poll the file system looking for changes, but that's not really efficient. It doesn't scale well to applications that have hundreds of open files or hundreds of open directories to monitor. The java.nio.file package, however, provides a file change notification API that's called the Watch Service API. And that Watch Service API allows you to register a directory or directories with the Watch Service. And when you register those directories, you get to tell the service what types of events you're interested in, whether it's file creation, file deletion, or file modification. And when the service detects an event that's of interest, it will forward that event to the registered process. And that registered process has a thread, or perhaps a pool of threads, dedicated to watching any registered events. And when the event comes in, it's handled as needed. This Watch Service API is fairly low level, so you get a chance to customize it. You can use it as is, or you can choose to create your own high-level API on top of this mechanism so that it's suited to your particular needs. But let's say that you wanted to implement a Watch Service. How would you go about doing it? It's fairly straightforward. First, you need to create a Watch Service watcher for the file system. The static file systems object has a getDefault method, which will return a file system instance. And then you call the new Watch Service method against that instance that will return you a Watch Service watcher. Next, for each directory that you want monitored, then you register it with the watcher. When registering a directory, you'll specify the type of events for which you want notification, and for each directory that you register, you'll get a watch key instance, which will be an object that will be monitoring that directory. Then you set up an infinite loop that basically waits for incoming events. When the event occurs, that watch key instance gets signaled and it gets put in the watcher's queue. Retrieve the key from the watcher's queue. The key will also have the file name. Then retrieve each pending event for the key, could be multiple ones. Process each event as needed. Reset the key and keep waiting for events. And then when you're finished, close the service. The watch service will exit when either the thread exits or when it's closed by invoking its closed method. Watch keys are thread safes, so you can dedicate an entire thread pool if necessary to this effort. The last part of file I/O we'll talk about is file stores on a file system. A file system has one or more file stores to hold its files and to hold its directories. The file store represents the underlying storage device. In POSIX-like operating systems, Unix and Linux, things like that, each mounted file system is represented by a file store. In Microsoft Windows, each volume is represented by a file store, C colon, D colon, and so on. To retrieve a list of all the file stores for the file system, there is a method called getFileStores that you can use. So if you call on the static file systems object, call the getDefault behavior, and then call getFileStores on the return from getDefault, that will get you a list of all the file stores. You can then iterate over that by saying for each store object of type file store, in the results of which you get from getFileStores, you can then iterate over them and allow you to loop over all the root directories as needed. But once you've looped over all those root directories, you may have to figure out what's the appropriate separator for the directories on your particular file system. Is it a forward slash, is it a backslash, what have you? Well, the path separator for these POSIX-based file systems is, of course, the forward slash, and for Microsoft Windows, it's the backslash, and other file systems might use other delimiters. To retrieve the path separator for the default file system, take the file system static object, call the getDefault behavior, and then call getSeparator against it. That will return a string indicating what the current separator is. That getSeparator method can also be used to retrieve the path separator for any available file system. I hope that you have enjoyed today's presentation. I look forward to your comments and to your questions. You can email your input to me by using the question box found on this page. I will be answering your questions and replying to your comments in upcoming presentations. If you're interested in viewing my other shows, just search the GoGo Radio Archive for my name, Mike Simpson. If there is a show that you would like for me to do, please send me an email and let me know. Thank you for your time today, and remember to tune into GoGo Radio, found exclusively on gogo.com.